Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution. Hello and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Annika Smith, broadcasting here with the CSC in Seattle, and today I'm joined by Jay Richards, Research Director for the Center for Science and Culture, to talk about an interesting phenomenon he's been noticing and writing about at Evolution News and Views, namely the way certain Darwinists feel compelled to lecture religious people, and Christians in particular, about theology. Jay, thanks for coming on the show.
Great to be with you, Annika.
Now, intelligent design proponents don't usually talk about their theology because the arguments they make are based in science. You hear about cosmology, mm-hmm. molecular biology. But it seems lately all we've heard from the critics of ID is about how it's such bad theology, some even going so far as to call it blasphemy. Now, Jay, what gives? Why is this happening?
Well, it's strange because, of course, ID people, we've always spent a lot of time trying to talk about the empirical data and say, let's draw rational inferences from publicly available data that's not based on any, you know,
special
a religious
revelation.
Text, special
right.
revelation, all these kinds of things. We've been clear for years on that.
Right.
But I noticed that these sort of pseudo-theological critiques have gotten more and more common recently. And I've just got a couple of guesses. But if I had to guess, I would say that this is probably happening because a lot of Darwinists are worried that religious people are supposedly, you know, quote, falling for these intelligent design arguments. So they think they're going to have to make theological arguments against us now because the arguments they've been making have, they think, perhaps fallen on deaf ears. That's the only thing I can figure out.
Okay.
But of course, you know, many of the folks that are involved in intelligent design, people like me, just to speak for myself, do actually know a bit about theology and Christian theology in particular. And it's, of course, I've got training in this subject and don't spend a lot of time talking about it, but it gets almost surreal when people who say that they're atheists or agnostics and don't apparently have any particular background in Christian theology decide to lecture you on what Christian theology does and doesn't do and does and doesn't say.
Right, and you mentioned the surrealism of it with Michael Ruse in particular,
mm-hmm.
That you had a run-in with him. Was that recently?
Yeah, it was just actually a few months ago.
Okay.
In fact, it was this two-hour radio interview / debate with Guillermo Gonzalez, my co-author with The Privileged Planet, and then Michael Ruse mm-hmm. and Carlos Calais, a NASA astronomer on the other side, both defending materialism. And Calais is quite explicitly an atheist. And it was a friendly discussion / debate. But
mm-hmm.
Ruse quite frequently kept saying that intelligent design violated some kind of theological principle, that Christians shouldn't like it because of the trail it gives of God and all these kinds of things. And several times he was just literally lecturing me about theology as if I,
right.
Really knew nothing about the subject.
Right. And this is ironic for our listeners because Ruse himself is not a theist. I mean, he's an agnostic and an avowed, and I mean, he rightfully puts that out there.
Yeah.
And you yourself...
I'm a Christian. Yeah, and Ruse knows this.
You went
yeah.
to Princeton, too.
Yeah, that's right.
You've
actually studied theology, strangely
right.
enough. Yeah, and I would never sort of pull out a credential to challenge an
no.
argument, but on a lot of these things, there's simple factual claims being made. I mean, whether you believe or don't believe Christian theology, it does have content. You can go and look up if you're wondering what the Westminster Confession has to say. It's, you can find it online if you want to know what Catholic theology is. The Catholic Catechism is online. And so what's strange is not that Ruse is using some sort of appeal to Christian theology, but that he's just blatantly misrepresenting it, but claiming that he was sort of representing the Christian viewpoint. Now, when
right.
I finally challenged him on this, he admitted that, well, he was saying the type of theological position he preferred. But, of course, he doesn't, unless agnosticism is a theological position, what he was saying is that sort of aesthetically he preferred the idea of a God that didn't act directly in nature. Well, he could say that, but, of course, so what? It's an aesthetic preference. And in fact, he doesn't believe in any particular type of acting God. And so, but
right.
if he said that, it wouldn't have any rhetorical force. It's only, he's presuming that mostly the people listening to the debate are traditional theists of some sort. So it's really important for him rhetorically that he make it appear that he's representing a traditional theological perspective when he's making these arguments against ID.
Right. And it's intriguing because we've seen a lot of these efforts in the past several years not just from, I mean, we've talked about ruse, mm-hmm. and also there have been some recent articles in The Guardian
right.
about questioning whether ID is bad theology and
yeah.
calling it blasphemy.
Right.
Which, because claiming God would work in creation is somehow
yeah.
goes against Christian belief.
Right, exactly. I mean,
can you address why? Does this mean that every Christian, every traditional theist,
right.
even, would be considered a blasphemer to, I think it was Vernon?
Yeah, a guy named Mark Vernon, actually. He's the one. I mean, it's strange because it's the UK, the publication, The Guardian in the UK, is actually very much a kind of secular left-wing publication.
Right.
So it's weird on the face of it that they're having a forum in which they ask the question, is intelligent design bad theology? I mean,
it's not like it's in First
no,
Things.
No, this right. isn't First Things or even National Review. It's The Guardian. And I don't even know how they would define bad theology. I would assume it would be any theology would be bad theology for the editorial writers at The Guardian. But leave that to aside. Mark Vernon sort of takes this critique one step farther, and he says it's not just bad science, it's not just bad theology, it's actually blasphemy, to the sort of view that he thinks ID people have. Now, in his piece in The Guardian, Vernon's actually kind of critiquing Steve Meyer's signature in The Cell, and if you read just the paragraph that summarizes Meyer's book, it's actually pretty good. But he almost immediately sort of drifts off the reservation because he attributes to Meyer and to other ID people a very specific kind of view of God in which God is directly acting and tinkering with different things, you know, I don't know, to sort of zap a bacterial flagellum into place or to zap some, you know, sequences into the DNA molecule or something like this. Now, mm-hmm. of course, ID people never make arguments like that. Intelligent design is about detecting the effects of intelligent agency
right.
in particular places in the natural world, right? But that detecting the effects of agency is different from having a specific claim about the mode by which that design was implemented. The ID per se is basically agnostic on that question, though of course ID individuals, you know, might have particular opinions on that. And so just the very portrayal of ID as sort of purporting or describing this particular way in which God acts is a misrepresentation. But what I find strange is that he claims that idea of God is somehow blasphemous. Let's just mm-hmm. set ID to the side and say, okay, what about this idea of a Christian, let's say, saying that God is the cause of something in the natural world? You know, God either raised Jesus from the dead, or God was directly responsible for the first origin of life or something like that. According to Mark Vernon, that would be blasphemous to portray God in that way, because as he says, I think as he puts it, he says, that would make God just one more member along with everything else in the world. Like he's suddenly now a member of the universe as opposed to being...
Because he's acting within it.
Yeah, because he's acting within it, as opposed to being the transcendent creator of everything and creating everything ex nihilo. Now he's just one more member along with the other members of the universe. Now, I find this, well, first of all, it's not an argument, it's an assertion, but it's hard even to imagine what the argument behind this would be. Because, of course, if we're talking about any kind of traditional theistic religion, God, yes, he is the creator of everything that exists other than himself. He creates it out of nothing. That means he didn't use something else to create
right.
the world. But that's not the only thing God does. He also acts directly within the course of nature. I mean, everybody knows this, that Judaism and Christianity describe a God who acts directly in nature at various times. And that's because God is sovereign and free and omnipotent. And a sovereign God can do what he wants with his own creation, is how I'd put it. And so it seems to me absurd on the face of it to claim that a description of God as acting in the natural world is somehow blasphemous, or that it implies that that makes God a member of the universe. No, it just means that God is transcendent over the universe and free to do what he wants to and act in a variety of different ways. There's nothing blasphemous about that description.
Now, you've mentioned that one reason you think that we're getting agnostic and even atheist Darwinists
mm-hmm.
making these theological arguments is that they feel like they have to,
right.
that the theological reasons are why people might be supporting ID.
Yeah.
Why? We've seen these atheists and these agnostics also joining forces with a lot of religious people, and
mm-hmm.
you get crowds like BioLogos,
sure.
and joining with people like Ken Miller and
mm-hmm.
Francis Collins,
right.
In trying to convince religious people that Darwin's theory is not a threat to their belief. And I'm wondering, is this an uneasy partnership, or why do you think that these atheists are caring so much about theology and working together with
the opinions of Christians and people like that. I mean, I think it's funny because actually Casey Luskin has a terrific article on this in this forthcoming book I'm editing called God and Evolution, so I won't steal all of his thunder. But I think, honestly, it's just a prudential judgment. I think the sort of rock-ribbed atheism of Richard Dawkins is very much a minority position in the West and certainly in the United States. And so if Darwin is too easily identified, Darwinism with atheism, I think they know they've got a serious rhetorical problem because most people aren't atheists. And so for strategic reasons, it's important that they cozy up to public Christians and public religious people that have also accommodated Darwinism into their worldview in some way. And so simply for strategic reasons, I think it makes sense that a lot of these Darwinists that are, in fact, personally atheists or agnostics, nevertheless try to build alliances. It's not, I don't think, because they're ironic. I think it's because they know that there needs to be some kind of theological patina over Darwinism in order for it to be palatable to most people.
Yeah, a little bit of sugar helps swallow the pill.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you also write in your article, which I think we have a link to, going back to ENV, that ID has clear theological implications, which you've expressed here, but it doesn't rest upon narrow theological premises.
Right.
This makes it very different from creationism, but it also makes it so it doesn't contradict Christian belief.
Yeah.
And that's, it seems to me like that's a strong platform from which theists of all stripes can stand with their belief.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, ID is, by the very way it's defined, a kind of big tent thing. It's quite minimal. I mean, you're basically saying intelligent agents sometimes leave effects of their activity behind in the natural world. We all know that. We're leaving effects of some intelligent activity behind by speaking right now. The controversial claim is that ID folks say there are effects of intelligent agency manifest, empirically manifest, in the natural world itself. That's going to be sort of theistic friendly, obviously, because theists also believe that the universe exists for a purpose, and so there's going to be some kind of convergence there. But it's important to realize that intelligent design arguments are based on public evidence, and if you said there was a basic presupposition that ID people have, it's simply that the effects of intelligent agency are detectable and that it's possible the universe was designed. Mm-hmm. But saying, okay, I'm going to be open-minded that the universe was designed for a purpose is different from saying I'm going to assume it in my argument. Those are two different things.
Well, thank you very much for being on our show today, Jay Richards. This is Annika Smith for the CSC in Seattle. Thanks for listening to ID the Future.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2010. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.